Okay, it is that time. Time to go back to your seats. So as Mambo said, I wanted to have the kids stay for the first few minutes of the sermon. That's because I need their help, and they are very worried at this point. But by the way, my name is David. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's so good to be with you this morning. I'm glad the snow's not coming until tomorrow so we could enjoy this day together. So I need all the kids to come up and help me to do a song. And this is like a super easy song. So come on up, kids. Don't worry, I'm going to make the adults sing it too. All right, come on up. Come on up to the... Come on up here. You want to come around and go up the stairs? Come on up to the stage. Come on up to the stage. Come around to the stairs and come on up. All right. What a beautiful group of, wow, mostly girls today. All right. So, okay, come on up here right in the front. I'm going to teach you this song. And this is a song that, this is a song that I'm going to need you guys to help me with your hands and your feet, okay? Your hands and your feet and your mouths and your hips, okay? Can you do that? All right, so this song is called Mi Cuerpo Hace Musica. Mi Cuerpo Hace Musica. Musica. So this is a song that my kids used to sing when they were in elementary school. They went to Sandoval Elementary, and here comes a few more. Okay, good. Come on up. So here, scoot down this way a little bit. Scoot down this way. We can make a little more room. Okay. So my kids went to a dual language elementary school, and they learned Spanish and English there. And they were taught in both languages. And so whenever they did programs, special things, they would often do songs in Spanish, sometimes songs in English, but they would do both. And so this is one of the songs that I remember because they did it so often that it just got drilled into my head. So that's what I'm going to try to... So I'm going to play it here on my phone, and it's connected. So yes, I'm going to sing it too. Oh my goodness. So the words are super easy. So I got to kind of teach you all the words. Don't worry, you're going to get to sing too. So, okay, so it's, the English, or mi cuerpo hace música, mis manos hacen clap, 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 mis pies hacen stomp, stomp, stomp. All right. And then it's mi boca hace la la la, and then mi tora hace cha cha cha. Okay, all right. So that's basically the song. And then the first time it's going to go through in English or Spanish. Then it'll actually do it in English, and then we'll do it. It's going to do it in Spanish again. So listen along. But I really need your help doing the. So let's actually practice the clap clap clap. So mis manos. Hacen, thank you, okay, mis pies hacen, okay, mis boca hace la la la, mis toras, torso, dorso, with a D, dorso, T, torso, yeah, mi torso, hacen, cha cha cha, cha cha cha. Okay, can you guys do the cha cha cha? Mi torso hacen cha cha cha. Okay, we gotta work on that one. Okay, all right, we're gonna do this. Okay, here we go. All right, ready?
Mi cuerpo. Hacen música, mi cuerpo, hacen música. Mis manos hacen,
mis pies hacen,
mis
boca hacen,
la la la,
cintura hace, cha cha cha.
Okay, now this time it's in English.
My body makes music. My body makes music. My hands go, my feet they, my mouth says la la la, my toe says cha cha cha.
Okay, now Spanish again.
Mi cuerpo hace música. Mi cuerpo hace música. Mis manos hacen, mis pies hacen, mis pies la la la, cintura cha cha cha.
Still working on the cha cha cha. Everyone stand up, stand up.
Mis pies, mis boca, la la la, mis tora, cha cha cha. Mi cuerpo hace música. Mi cuerpo hace música.
Woo! All right. Give these guys a big round of applause. All right, you may be seated. You actually may head to your Sunday school class now. So thank you very much. What a good group. Daniela's like, I want to be up there too. Thank you, Daniela. You did a great job. Oh, my goodness. Never let me preach again. So, my body makes music, and I want to present to you today that my body also makes worship. My body makes worship. Our bodies are a very, very important part of worship, and the Bible has a lot to say about our bodies being used for worship. And we've been talking the last few weeks about worship, as Tech was mentioning. And we finished a series called On the Edge. On the Edge was all about dealing with the difficult emotions of life, the critical emotions of life, depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, other things like that, things that are real struggles. And so, you know, that was kind of a heavy time for us, and still is, even as we're going through the emotionally healthy spirituality course, and many of us are in those small groups. And so we wanted to end that whole 10-week series by talking about worship. And so we've spent the last 3 weeks, and today is our last one, talking about worship. And Johan talked about how worship is actually a healing tool. When we worship the Lord, we are actually being healed in the process of that worship. And then Tech preached on how worship is a response to who God is, just to God's greatness and his amazingness all around us. And then Mambo preached last week about how we worship through the hard times. Worship is not just about the good times and when things are going well and when we feel up, you know, kind of have one of those days, we feel like worshiping. I mean, obviously we want to worship on those days, but even on the days that we feel bad, the days where we're struggling the worst, we need to be worshiping the Lord. And so today we're wrapping this little series up on worship, and I'm talking about how we respond to the Lord in worship with our bodies. Our bodies make worship as well. You know, there's a lot of studies being done recently on, or in the last generation, on nonverbal communication and the importance of nonverbal communication. And you, whether you know it or not, you know exactly what I mean, because nonverbals are so important in, especially in our interpersonal, you know, communication with a husband and wife, with kids and parents, and with all those things. In fact, there's some researchers out there that say that nonverbal communication is actually more important. It's 60 to 70% of communication. And I think you'll see what I mean in a minute. But if your nonverbals say one thing and your verbals say something else, people tend to believe your nonverbal communication over your verbal communication. If I come up, if I say, "How did you like the sermon?" and you said, "It was great," what are you going to believe? You're all laughing because you know the real answer is you didn't like it, because we don't trust our, we don't trust someone's words when their nonverbals are not agreeing with that. And so that is so important. When the husband says, wife says, "Do you love me?" says, "Of course I love you." Do they feel the love? No. Because you got to communicate it with your nonverbals as well. And so these are very important. And I was just thinking about some of the most common nonverbal expressions. I love nonverbals myself because they're fun to do fun things with. But, you know, the most common one probably is a smile. You know, we do so much with our face. And just when you see someone and you smile, and they, everyone try smiling for me. Give me your best smiles. All right. Come on, Antonio, you got to smile. Just got to wait for the translation to catch up. So anyway, but we have to smile. It's when we greet each other, you know, if somebody walks into the room, instantly you know exactly what's going on. You don't need them to tell you anything. It's a nonverbal communication. There's lots of with the facial I love, you know, winking. That's like, you know, like winking at somebody, like winking at my wife there. She knows what I mean there when I, or when, you know, when you're surprised, it's like, you know, you don't even have to say anything. Everyone knows the expressions that you're making. Or when you're skeptical about something. I mean, you know, we just know what that means. Or if you're bored, or if you want to give someone, give them the cold shoulder. I mean, we all know what those things mean. And sometimes nonverbals vary between cultures as well. Like in America, when I do this, pretty much people know, yeah, I'm giving you the okay symbol. Thumbs up. Some cultures, not so much. Just don't go there. So I asked my wife, what was one of her, I said, "Honey, so what's a good nonverbal communication you could think of?" She's like, "Your middle finger." I'm like, "Honey, like, wow, that was the first thing out of her mouth." I'm like, "Man, I was looking for like smiles or something." Yeah. My face was like, that's all it took. That's all it took. So, you know, so guys, you really need to work on this nonverbal stuff with your girlfriends. Like, it's very important for the young men to understand this, and girls too. So affection is a lot of nonverbals are linked to that. And so anyway, nonverbals are a lot of fun, and we can have a lot of fun with those. In fact, the only time that I was ever sent to the principal's office in school was for nonverbal communication. And it wasn't the middle finger. I was not happy with my teacher. Something she said to me was just not fair. I think I was in second or third grade. And so when I thought she wasn't looking, I did this little bit of nonverbal communication. And she happened to see me. And that got me sent to the principal's office. So one time in my life, I went to the principal's office. I didn't even say anything. So, but apparently, my nonverbals were communicating a little bit of disrespect. So I don't think you would get sent to the principal's office for that these days. That was a long time ago. So fun stuff. So do you think that God cares about our nonverbals? You better believe he does. I mean, if your wife cares about your nonverbals, if your husband cares about your nonverbals, if your kids do, I bet you God really cares about our nonverbals as well, because he sees through us. He sees the heart, and he knows that we speak in all kinds of ways. In fact, God is probably the best nonverbal communicator there is. He is the best nonverbal communicator. As I was driving in this morning, which wasn't very far, but as I was driving over from Federal and Exposition, I noticed a flock of birds, and they were silently flying together. It wasn't the geese, you know, you see those all the time. It was like smaller birds, and there was probably 100 birds, and they were just like moving together. You know how you see them, and they just all move at the same time, and then they move again, and then they fly off. And I was like, wow, this is such a beautiful nonverbal communication from God, that he is in control and that he's orchestrating. Even the birds know exactly what to do, and they're just in concert with each other because of the way that he created them. And as we look at the mountains on a beautiful day like this, and we see the the sunshine hitting against that beautiful snow up there and how it glistens, wow, what an amazing nonverbal communication from God speaking to us that I am great. I am awesome. I am able to make these amazing mountains and these streams and these trees and forests that we enjoy all around us. When a plant, when a flower pops out of the ground and opens up that little flower and just, you know, amazes us with its beauty. What an incredible nonverbal communication that God has given us. And so, yes, I think God loves nonverbal communication, and it is so important to him. And so I want to look at some of these verses that talk about this. And I want us to even practice a little bit this morning, just like we were doing with the kids. And thank you all for, you know, helping me with your hands and your feet and your la-la-las and your cha-cha-chas. We're gonna practice a little bit more, probably a little less cha-chaing and some other stuff. But anyway, let's go to our first verse, because we're going to look at some of the different ways in the Bible that they used their bodies to worship God, and some of the ways that we use our bodies today to worship God. The first one is in Psalm 95, verse 6. Psalm 95, 6. It says, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Do you know how hard it is sometimes to physically kneel before the Lord? I mean, it's not that easy. It is hard to kneel sometimes. Sometimes it's just emotionally we don't want to kneel. It feels very awkward kneeling in up here on the stage in front of you guys, because it's just not a natural position for humanity. We don't like to kneel because it's a subservient position. It's a humbling position. But that's the whole point of nonverbals, is they speak louder than our actual words. And so when we kneel before the Lord, it's an example, it's a way of speaking to him what's in our heart. And yes, our heart needs to match it. I mean, just kneeling with nothing in your heart, obviously it doesn't mean anything. Just like if you smile and you're not really joyful, it means nothing either. But when our heart matches our body position, it can be incredible. It gets harder to kneel as you get older, trust me. Many of you know what I'm talking about. The next one is even a little harder. It's kneeling with our hands spread out toward heaven. I want to read to you from 1 Kings 8, chapter 54. This is when Solomon had finished building the temple, and it was a great day of worship before the Lord. And they were dedicating this incredible building that God was now going to indwell and his spirit was going to live inside of. Like Mamba was talking about, the holy place and the holy of holies where God's Shekinah glory dwelled. And so verse 54 says, "When Solomon had finished all these prayers and supplications to the Lord, he rose from before the altar of the Lord, where he had been kneeling with his hands spread out toward heaven." He had been kneeling. This is the king of the people. This is not, you know, a lowly guy. This is the king that everyone would kneel to him. And he was standing, or was in front of the people with his arms stretched out, praying to the Lord, crying out to the Lord. And you remember some of that prayer. I'm not going to talk about it today, but just the prayer that God said, or he said, remember us, Lord, when we look to this temple. And he was standing there. He didn't want to just stand up there in front of the people and kind of dryly pray that prayer. He wanted to show that it's important to show with our bodies that we're worshiping him. Hold your hands up to the Lord. Will you hold your hands up to the Lord? Close your eyes and just worship. Just worship him now. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we need to just get out of our comfort zones, and we need to do that. In Nehemiah 8, verse 6, this is another great prayer from one of the great leaders of Israel named Ezra. And he says, Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, amen. Amen. The whole crowd, I mean, can you imagine the thousands and thousands of people that were there? They all lifted their arms to the Lord and they said, amen, amen. It says, then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Wow. Bowing is so important. If we go to Psalm 5:7, skipping ahead a little bit in the notes there on the slides, it says, but I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down toward your holy temple. Bowing our heads is probably the number one way that we use to, as a nonverbal, to show our reverence to the Lord. You know, and probably because it's so easy to, whether we're standing, we can bow our heads, whether we're sitting, we can bow our head. Bowing the head is just so, and it is very, it gives honor, it gives respect. In some cultures, They hold their hands, you know which cultures I'm talking about. They hold their hands like this, and they bow their head just to show some respect for the person that they're talking to. It's a very common thing that humans do, and so it's very natural for us to bow our heads before the Lord. You know what's interesting? I don't think, at least I couldn't find a place in Scripture where it says they folded their hands. I think that's something we kind of added for our children to help them not use their hands while they're praying. But I didn't see anything in there about folding your hands. But not that that's bad. It's just I'm not sure that we see that in the Bible. But we see a lot of bowing our heads. Second Chronicles 20, verse 18 says, Jehoshaphat, this is another king of Israel, Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. I just want to tell you, it is hard to bow down with your face to the ground. I actually tried it a little bit this week. It's not that easy. It's not that hard to bow down, but to bow down with your face to the ground. In other places, it says that they fell prostrate. Prostrate means to fall flat on the ground, you know, no, just basically your body completely flat against the ground, and they worship the Lord in that way. I want to challenge you, maybe sometime this week when you're alone, people won't think you're crazy, when you're alone in your room or in your house or somewhere, that you would be willing to just prostrate yourself before the Lord. Just get flat on the ground with your face to the ground and worship the Lord and allow your nonverbals to communicate, I am surrendering all to you, Lord. I am surrendering everything to you. In Revelation 7, and these passages, Revelation 4, 5, 6, 7, they have these great stories and examples of worship before the throne in heaven. And it says in Revelation 7, 11, all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. And there I don't see, they're not just casually getting down. I mean, they're falling down before the Lord, because it was like the life just, I mean, it's like they couldn't help but just fall before the Lord and worship him because of his greatness. Psalm 96, verse 9, talks about another one that we don't use very often, but I think it's pretty incredible that this is actually given as a command. It says, worship the Lord, Psalm 96, 9, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Tremble before him. Have you ever been singing or worshiping the Lord and you just started to tremble a little bit? You were just overcome with emotion and overcome with God's presence. I remember we went to Open Door Fellowship for many, many years, and there was a lady that whenever we sang, she would raise her hands to the Lord and she would just tremble. I mean, her arms and her body would just tremble before the Lord, and it was pretty much every single week. And at first it kind of caught me off guard, but then after a while I got used to it, and she would just tremble before the Lord, not out of control or anything crazy like that, just trembling. And here it is as a command in Scripture to tremble before him, all the earth. This one is another one that we do very, very frequently. Psalm 119, 120 says, my flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your laws. That's why we often stand when we sing, and tech or someone will say, stand with me. Or one thing I love is, some people can be sitting and others can be standing, and then it can go back and forth. We don't all have to do the same thing in worship. If some of you want to clap, if some of you want to kneel, if some of you feel like bowing down during the worship time, that's fine. It's supposed to be a free expression of our love for God, of the way we feel about him. And so we don't want standing just to be one of those routine things. Like, are we standing? Okay, are we sitting? Are we standing or sitting in this song? Sometimes that's all it feels like, is this church is just about, you got to stand and sit at the right times. But that's not the way it should be, and that's not the way it is here at Westside Church. You want to stand, stand. If you want to sit, that's fine too, even if everyone else is standing. Psalm 149, 3. This is the one I struggle with the most, probably of all of these. Psalm 149, 3. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with timbrels and harp. So if you see me kind of doing this, I'm dancing. Just wanted you to know that. if you see me, clapping and dancing, that's pretty much dancing, for this guy. Some of you though can really dance. I mean, like, I've seen some good dancing out of some of you. And so we need to see a little bit more of that during our worship. Actually, you don't want to miss our December 8th, Sunday, December 8th banquet, because we are going to have some dancing. We're going to have some worship dancing there for our time, and maybe even some non-worship dancing, but all dancing should be worship to the Lord. But anyway, everything we do should be worship to the Lord. And so come out and see some dancing that night. But there's some songs. I mean, that one song that we always sing, it's like if they could see us now dancing, like, they would know. And then sometimes we sing that, and I look around, I'm like, if they could see us now, they'd think we're a bunch of hypocrites, because nobody is dancing. But You see, I use my nonverbals there. Anyway, we have to look like we want to praise the Lord, and let's do that together. I mean, that's why I'm so glad that, you know, this isn't just a white congregation. White people are kind of boring sometimes, you know? I mean, like, it's awesome. We got some flavors and stuff here, so we got to teach these us white people how to do some stuff. So anyway, so help me out. All right, Psalm 47:1 says, clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Clapping our hands. Mis manos hacen. That's right. That's right. Thank you. And so clapping our hands is a way that we rejoice before the Lord. We shout to God with cries of joy. Yes, yes. So those are some of the ways that the Bible talks about giving to the Lord. And we're going to have the worship team come back up. And that's one thing I love about our church too, is we have the sermon, but then we come back and we worship some more. And this is especially a good one today to do that, because if we weren't going to sing some more, I mean, we would just have to sing some more. That would be wrong. So, but I'm going to give you guys a chance to practice. Yeah, we're gonna practice. Do we have some good songs for practicing?
What do you mean?
Practicing using our bodies for worship?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. So text says, of course we do. I mean, like, what do you mean? Of course. It's always a good time. So I want to give you a chance to practice. So anyway, we're going to just do some stuff to kind of get ourselves warmed up as they get ready back there. So I want everyone to stand up. Stand up and... And okay, yeah, stretch a little bit, that's right. Stand up if you're able to. And of course, I just told you don't have to stand, so you don't have to stand if you don't want to. But anyway, if you just humor me. All right, so I want you to raise your hands up to the Lord, raise your hands up, and okay, let's do some clapping above our heads. All right, that's good, okay. And now let's do some, like, start to move the feet, like some dancing, like, come on, like, there you go. All right. Michelle. All right. There we go. So, all right. I think they're getting warmed up. Do you think they're ready, Tech? All right. All right. Let's really worship the Lord. If you want to kneel, if you want to bow down, no one's going to think anything crazy about you. If you just feel like the Holy Spirit is like, just bow before me. Just get on your knees right there in your pew or against the wall or something, or go in the back. But we are just going to praise the Lord together here for a few minutes.
1, 2, 3. We're gonna sing Did You Feel again? Did you feel them?